This week on Rain on Your Parade, we talk the WNBA with Dr. Cornel West. Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan here, as always, with producer Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. What's going on? How you doing? Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's I hope the cataract surgery went okay.
I don't know if we... I was expecting to get comments from the Scaramucci episode last week about me wearing the shades, but the reason that I wear them, folks, is because we have all these big studio lights in here. And JL likes to record after I've worked a 12-hour day.
So if light in the constellation of Slickback Studios.
Oh,
stars.
You wish. if I don't wear these with all these lights after a certain point, I get just debilitating migraines. So I have to do it, and I guess I get to kind of look cool in the process. So that's a win-win.
Well, good. Hopefully those migraines are whole grains. We're doing dad puns right now. We're doing wholesome puns made out of whole grains. Everybody, this is going to be a fun episode. You're probably saying, if you're a YouTube watcher, hey, wait a second, JL. It's only June, and I recognize that shirt. Well, guess what? When we have a special guest, Mike and I have agreed that we can make exceptions because I'm merely here as host, sort of. We have another... The response was great to Scaramucci, although, oddly enough, like 600 fewer views on YouTube than The End of Lawyers, Mike's least favorite episode, which was a juggernaut.
It was shocking to me. I'll tell you what.
It was the Biden of the episodes. Everybody thought it was dead on arrival, and it shocked everybody.
You left that after we recorded that. I went,
ooh. Ah.
And it was a hit. What do I know?
So thank you for all the comments on the Scaramucci episode on reading. So we thought, you know what? We landed another big guest today.
Yes, huge.
Cornel West, Dr. Cornel West.
Yeah.
Okay, so he'll be here after the break. But I want to talk about a couple of things. First off, thank you to everybody who's watched and reviewed Half Blackface. I got a little question on my Patreon. And by the way, go to my Patreon. It's only $3. Patreon.com/JL Covan. People were having trouble figuring out how to review the special. Because when you watch on your TV, on your smart TV, it only allows you to give it like a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You do have to go to your computer, which I'm guessing most of you have, and then just fill out go to the special and just rewrite the review online. That's it. It's that simple. You just can't do it from your smart TV.
And a computer is the thing. It's got a big screen.
If you have an Apple,
keyboard.
It'll open and go boom.
Yeah.
So and then you type. And you know, great, log in to your account.
Uh-huh.
That's an important factor that some people might not realize.
And a login is when you have, they call it a username.
Yeah.
And then you have a password.
A login is what they call it when I'm fucking my chick.
Oh, Vinny.
Shut up, Vinny. This isn't your episode. You probably wouldn't like Dr. Cornel West, Vinny.
I'm not going to say the word, but it ain't good.
Dr. Eggplant.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of shows coming up, including this Thursday, which if you're listening to this,
tonight.
You could be listening to this. There's a chance it'll be out before it's tonight.
It will,
right?
Yeah.
It'll be Thursday night. Yeah. So when you get this episode, if you're anywhere near Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, big show, Making Podcasts Great Again live taping. Very excited for that. And then I have shows in D.C., Washington, D.C., the end of this month. 4 shows at the DC Comedy Loft, and then some other shows coming up. St. Paul, Minnesota, Rutherford, New Jersey, New York City, etc. Working on Chicago, a weekend in Chicago for September, and other shows hopefully getting added. So jlcomedy.com, find everything you need from me, but please buy those tickets sooner rather than later. I, Mike, have been watching. I gave a try to the show Clipped on Hulu.
The Clippers show.
Yes, the Clippers show.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was bad news when Matt Barnes was the tallest player on the team in terms of casting.
Do they have wide shots? I've heard the casting's really bad. Do they have wide shots of the players?
You see a few where I'm like, okay, so Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are about the same size.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And Matt Barnes, played by Drow, some guy, like that's the character from Insecure that he played.
Okay.
because he's 6'7", which I always like to see. When I see a super tall guy on TV, I go, how tall is he? Just so I can see how I compare. And he's 6'7". I'm like, geez, do I look like that much of a fucking goon? And the answer is yes. But he plays Matt Barnes, and he's the tallest guy on the cast, I believe. Yeah. Like Winning Time, the great HBO show that was canceled.
You liked it?
Oh, we talked about this, I think. I loved it.
I liked how it started, and I thought that it got really bad.
Did you think season one got bad, or did you think like season two was not good?
I think season one was pretty good, and I thought season two was...
Well, season two, as we learned once we got to the end, was like this rush job to like finish the whole story.
Yeah.
Like it was canceled. It was like the night of the finale. They were like, oh, and by the way, in 84, they win, in 87, but they didn't get to... The show starts with Magic like at his press conference announcing he has AIDS. We never get to that.
That's what I was
going to
say. Yeah, they canceled it after
two seasons. I loved Winning Time, from the theme song to the casting. But if you look at the casting,
casting's good.
Size wise, you know, a 6'6" guy as Kareem is fine. When you're 6'2" guy as Magic Johnson, and everybody was like lined up.
Yeah.
It was like at least there was that attention to detail. So the good sign of Clipped is when, you know, the sixth tallest guy on the team is played by the tallest cast member.
Right.
I'm not watching again. Ed O'Neill plays Donald Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's meant to be more sympathetic. Like, he says, of course, bad things, but he also comes off as kind of a doddering, not such horrible old man.
I've heard that he's too likable as Donald Sterling.
Right. You're kind of like, I get a vibe. He's giving... back in his day.
Yeah.
Not like virulent racist.
Yeah.
But more like, you know, I can say stuff about black. I'm not meaning anything. I love black people. I just don't want. But of course, the main thing, the Magic Johnson and don't bring blacks to the game, that there's no way of sugarcoating that. But he doesn't come off the way you'd expect. V. Stiviano is too hot, in my opinion. She was like a little weirder looking in real life.
Yeah.
Like, why the upgrade?
Yeah.
Like, why give the upgrade in the casting?
Uh-huh.
And then we get to the great actor, Lawrence Fishburne.
Mm.
Probably the main reason I won't be watching anymore.
Really?
I'm going to give you my Doc Rivers impression.
You know what? I was going to ask if you got consideration.
Consideration for what?
The part.
Of Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
No, Blake Griffin would have been the guy I could play. I don't look anything like Blake Griffin, but neither does the guy they cast. And at least I'm fucking tall and biracial.
Yeah. Well, how tall is Doc Rivers? I guess was a guard, probably
6'3". Okay. When I went to see the Billy Crystal musical with my mom, I took her for either a birthday or Christmas present. And my mom married to a tall black man once upon a time. And Doc Rivers is there. I think he's friends with Billy Crystal because Billy Crystal was like a
big
Clippers fan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the musical is great, by the way. You can't see it. It's done. But it was actually really good.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Billy Crystal fan.
I am too, yeah.
I just think he's like classically timeless and funny.
Yeah.
He belongs in that Martin Short company for me, where it's just like, you seem super nice, super talented, super chill.
Yeah.
You're going to live till you're 100.
Yeah.
Like, but we go see the show, and at the intermission, or no, before the show, coming down the walkway, is of the recently eliminated Philadelphia 76ers, Doc Rivers, and a smoking hot woman.
Yeah.
And when I say, I'm talking like 6 foot tall, black, busty model, but who looked like she was like 40.
Uh-huh.
Like he wasn't doing the like, look at me with my 22 year. It was like, you're 62, your second wife or your second, you know, if you're looking for a new wife, early 40s is perfect. Yeah. And you found one of the goats of that demographic. I mean, just like stunning. And he sees me looking at him and height game, recognize height game.
Yeah.
He's 6'3", I'm 6'7". And he sees me looking and he goes, hey, how are you doing? And like gives me knuckles.
Ah, nice.
And then my mom says to me, which is like the greatest night of her life. She leans up, she taps me on the elbow. He goes, that's what they mean when they say black don't crack. And she was like gushing over Doc Rivers the rest of the night. And so between Billy Crystal and Doc Rivers, you know, I was like, Mom, get your hands out of your pants. I mean, this is still a family show. But so Doc Rivers, played by Lawrence Fishburne, great actor.
Yep.
Miscast. And I'll tell you why. Because sometimes when you're trying, you don't, I appreciate when somebody doesn't do an impression. Because sometimes we grade impressions in movies too highly.
Yeah.
Like Jamie Foxx is a great talent. I don't know that he deserved Best Actor for Ray. Mm-hmm. Outside of it being a really good performance and a great impression, I would probably give it to Clint Eastwood for Million Dollar Baby, just for how depressing that performance was. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Austin Butler as Elvis, I thought, well, you certainly can't give it to Brendan Fraser for that garbage movie, The Whale. Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Because that, in that case, the competition, well, I felt was thinner.
And the famous one, of course, is Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison.
Right. He was nominated.
Incredible.
Right.
You can't tell them apart.
But I think Tom Hanks as Colonel Parker was the best in Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the boy. Look at the boy. He's a white boy. You got to do merchandise, my boy. You got to do the merchandise.
Single-handedly tanked that movie for me. God, he was bad.
It's refreshing, though, to see, like, Tom Hanks, a great
human. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
My God. But he went for it. And he failed.
He did, yeah.
But he went for it.
He makes that movie a borderline bad movie.
This is why I thought Austin Butler should have won.
Because he elevated?
Because it was like, he did an Iverson to the finals with the Sixers. Like, he was like, get on my back, Colonel Parker.
Yeah.
I'll deliver a great performance.
Yeah.
But Doc Rivers, my impression of Doc Rivers is really kind of almost based on the Jamie Foxx impression, which is really good. Yeah. But it's basically like, come on, Mike. Hey, it's just raspy. It's kind of, hey, we got to get over here. Hey, Blake, guard him. We guard him. Here's my hot date. I'm seeing Billy Crystal. It's not a good impression, but that's the tone.
Yeah.
The tone is, I'm always hoarse.
It's a little Obama-ish.
It's a little bit. But it's the hoarseness is like the almost the main characteristic.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, I love Tropic Thunder.
Here's what I think Lawrence Fishburne sounds like.
Oh no.
As Doc Rivers. Come on, man. You gotta press him. You gotta give up on him.
What was the character's name?
Was it Cyrus? Something?
I don't know, but that was a RDJ at his best.
That was anybody at their best.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
When Robert Downey Jr. will forever be known as Iron Man now.
Yeah.
Understandably, he was great at it. Yeah. If you want, I mean, do you have anything to say concerning Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man?
I just think, you know, we're just sort of like an Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing.
Yeah.
My one line.
But he's great. He's great as Iron Man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he is. I think Laura's love of Downey Jr. as Iron Man is why she tolerates like my excessive joke making, because she's like, he's not as cool as Robert Downey Jr., but they're adjacent in terms of always cracking jokes.
Yeah.
So, hey, come on, man. Donald Stern, get out of my locker room, man. I'm exaggerating for the joke.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, come on, Donald Sterling, get the hell out of my locker room. That would be my take on Doc Rivers. Ugh. Not, come on, man. We trying to get this banquet. We trying to get these playoff wins.
He's like over black.
It's not even over black. I'm exaggerating. It's just there are times he's like, come on, guy. Like, it's like his take is this like gravelly, deep, like, well, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not playing basketball right now. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. And I'm just like, is this your Colonel Tom Parker?
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite. It's not quite that
bad. I mean, Fishburne has done a couple bad. Did you see him in, I think it's Rogue One? There's a, no. There's a Predator movie, I think, that he's in.
Oh, really?
That he is abysmally bad. Yeah. I remember seeing, it's some sci-fi movie in the last, like, 10 years where I remember being like, Lawrence Fishburne, why is he in this movie?
I truly hope it's Lawrence Fishburne for your sake.
It is, yeah. Okay, yeah. 100% is.
Be like, that was Sterling K. Brown.
I'm gonna do some. No. I know Sterling
press
K.
Him.
Brown.
Press him. You gotta get up in him.
I'm gonna find that.
What the
movie.
Fuck are we doing, man?
And we'll come back to it. But can I ask you about the Clippers thing?
Yeah.
Is there enough story there for a TV show?
Well, the thing is, it is truly a limited series because it seems to just be covering basically the hiring, like that season, and then they get right to the playoffs. Like they basically just want to cover. It's almost like, oh, we're going to cover the 2 weeks of this. It's poorly cast. And I guess you can't direct Lawrence Fishburne really in a mini series, like a TV show.
Yeah.
You just say, we got Lawrence Fishburne. That's a big get. Let him interpret the work how he chooses to.
Yeah.
So,
So what if I look at this? What if when I'm yelling at the team, instead of saying, hey, guys, get over here, what instead if I go, hey, man, get over here. You gotta get them collard greens.
Oh, God.
I'm just hoping people are laughing at that. That's my exaggeration, just to convey how in times I'm going, Lawrence, you've heard Doc Rivers speak, right?
Yeah.
Like, he'd be better off just like whispering, just to create kind of the right tone of like, guys, get over here, versus
fuck this.
So anyway, that's enough on Clipped.
And by the way, it is Predators 2010. He's horrible in it.
Okay, good.
He's doing like some weird method acty thing. I'm pretty sure he's like friends with the Predators in the movie. I can't really remember, but I remember being like, oh, God, this is bad.
He's one of those guys, man. He was in Apocalypse Now when he was 15.
Yeah.
But it was like, how old is Lawrence Fishburne here? 28? Like, he drank the same water as a teenager as like LeBron and Greg Oden.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where like, damn, man, how old are you?
19.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Although when you look back at, you look back at LeBron, you realize how much younger he looked now that you see him as a grown, like an older.
Well, nobody tops Oden.
Oden really did.
65 years old.
Yeah.
Going into the draft.
I feel bad. Not that we need to get into this. I feel really bad for Greg Oden to this day.
Yeah.
He was
allegedly an awesome guy.
Awesome guy. Mike Conley's best friend.
Yes.
And he worked out with Mike Conley in the offseason when he first came to the Jazz to work on his pick and roll, like to take the place of Gobert, basically, to like help him adjust to all the pick and roll stuff that they ran with Gobert. But people forget Greg Oden, as a freshman, a true freshman, went up against the defending champs of Florida, mm-hmm. who featured three NBA first round picks and a future defensive player of the year, Joakim Noah, Al Horford.
I think they had four first round picks, didn't they?
Torian Green, Corey
Brewer.
Was Torian Green on that team?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. If he was, then yes. Four. And Greg Oden in like 22 minutes went for like 28, 15 and three blocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Against like two All-American centers who were like leaving for the NBA lottery.
Yeah.
And his knees.
Horford's still playing, by the way.
Right. And he would have been, Greg Oden, you know, would have had his whole career basically when the big man still counted also. So he was a Hall of Fame. When people go, oh, they passed in Kevin Durant.
He was not a bust.
Greg Oden was 20-12-3.
Dude, he was good
for a decade.
When he was healthy in the NBA, he was good too. It's not like he was bad. He just, what was this, his knee?
Yeah, he had like that microfracture shit, which like, and maybe if he had had a coach guiding him like Doc Rivers.
Come on, man, can't get injured, man. What the fuck are you doing, Greg?
Okay, well, that's an intro, a very clever intro to the world of basketball. But this episode, I want to talk the WNBA and Caitlin Clark. I want to talk about it very briefly.
Sure.
I want to leave, you know, Dr. Cornel West said he had a lot to say on this. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's sort of a wiser, you know, and also speaking of Lawrence Fishburne, I believe Cornel West was in one of the Matrix films.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Lawrence Fishburne was in all of them.
All of them, yeah.
No, Cornel West.
Was he?
Dr. West was like, in like the second one, he's, I think, just on like the council. It's just like a cameo, basically.
Hold, please. I'll look that up. Go ahead.
Okay. For your own edification, because I'm 100% certain.
Are you?
But WNBA, getting a lot of traction these days. Mike, why do you think that is?
Because there's a little white girl in the league.
Well, that's the woke answer I thought you'd give.
Why do you think it's getting
the traction? Well, we briefly talked about Caitlin Clark like several episodes ago, and I've heard my good brother Rod Marl, the black guy who tips podcast. Mm-hmm. I can't compare to Cornel West, but I'm, you know, that's my little he'll be here later.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right, he was in The Matrix Revolutions.
Yeah, I know.
Counselor West.
Oh, okay. He's playing himself.
Yep.
Okay. They had to edit out his 19-minute speech.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't even in the script, Dr. West.
The Wachowskis just said it. Just run the tape. Let him do what he wants.
To my future trans brother sisters, the Wachowski siblings. They call them siblings because they went. I had said on this podcast maybe a month, maybe 2 months ago, probably 2 months ago, that the reason I thought Caitlin Clark was so popular is that her game is the closest to a man's game that a woman can get, mm-hmm. because of the Steph Curry model, because of how he's changed the NBA. Now, quickness, quick release, hitting the shot. those are skills that can translate beyond, like, through gender. Sure. Women can do that. What women can't do is, like, drop step you and cock it back and slam it and break the rim.
Right.
They can't do it yet.
Yeah.
This is a pro women space, so yeah, right. Anything's possible.
Right.
But not yet. Not yet is what I'm saying.
No 360 dunks.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think you can get a 180 layup yet. But the point is, Caitlin Clark, to me, because I've heard on different people's podcasts, and this has obviously been a hot topic, and I said, we need to get in on this while it's lukewarm.
Yeah.
For yes. The algorithm.
Yeah.
Last week.
I'll get you clips in a couple weeks.
Last week, 2,500 views. This week, 710. But I still wanted to speak on it because I've been hearing a lot of people kind of saying that on different shows, different responses, but sort of why she has become this superstar or why she's so popular, or why she's the marquee name, despite not being obviously the best player in the WNBA. And my answer remains, when you watch bigs in the WNBA, it is an unappealing. I'm not saying they're not skilled. I'm not saying they're not athletic. I'm not saying they're not tough. But it's not fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark is fun to watch. And I had somebody say, everybody, you know, it was Angel Reese. It was that rivalry in the finals a year ago that really elevated it. And that's true to a certain extent. But I wasn't watching the finals because I thought Angel Reese, a player I had not heard of until watching the finals, was going to do something. I was watching because 2 games ago, I'm watching SportsCenter, and I literally was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, I've never seen that. Now, you could tell me, well, actually, there was a player, you know, blah, blah, blah. But okay, but I'd never seen that. And it seems like I was in the majority with people going, that's different. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a woman player do that or play like that because that looks like what I watch when I watch Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. And so I watched like a little bit of the South Carolina game where she upset South Carolina and had like 40. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And then I watched the finals and all this. And I remember many people thought, I don't know what your opinion was on this, but I had written that I thought what Angel Reese did, considering the timing, the end of a championship game when you've won, the taunting in game, I was like, no real problem with it. Mm-hmm. I remember saying to people, and I meant it, I was like, I got to admit, the sexist in me is like, watching women taunt each other in sports, I'm just like, settle down. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not nice, that's misogynistic, but I'm saying that's my gut instinct. I try to check it, but that's what I felt. I was like, leave the trash talking to the men, ladies.
Okay.
I'm just saying that was like my gut instinct. It wasn't like I was like, I wasn't like when Caitlin Clark was doing her thing, like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, settle down. I'm enjoying watching you play, but you don't need your trash talk. Mm-hmm. And then when Angel Reese did it after, like as the game was ending and then like chased her down as like the game was basically over to like taunt her and go like this. And she doesn't have to like Caitlin Clark. It seems like, I think you'd have to dislike somebody to do that. Like, I don't think that's just like, we're friends and we, like Jordan and Magic and Bird never like did that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I think there was a respect off the court. And you don't have to respect each other or it doesn't have to, whatever. But when I wrote that, I thought that was, I think I said that was like, that was bullshit. And then I had friends, a lot of friends who were just like basically claiming that it was like some sort of race, like some sort of like pro-white, anti-black stance I had because I didn't mind when Caitlin Clark did it. And when I told people that I thought coming at the end of the game was a different scenario, like you don't see that in other sports really, where like the team is like, oh, hold up. Before you give me the championship trophy, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like you don't see that.
Yeah.
And there's a reason because somebody will get punched in the face in a men's game.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do that. But okay. But I meant what I said. So people had to have either been calling me a liar or whatever, but I was like, that is how I felt. I felt like it was a different scenario. And a lot of people were saying to me, no difference. And I was like, then show me all the times it happens in men's games if it's really like just doesn't make a difference. You don't see it. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Some people believe me, some people didn't. That's the truth. But I was watching the game for Caitlin Clark. And I've heard some people say, oh, it was Angel Reese who made it happen. And I was just like, that is what this is. She is... And there may be better players who come along after her. I mean, there will be. It's the evolution of the game. Yeah. She's going to change the game. Just like somebody will come along who's watched Steph Curry their whole life but is 6'7" and has a 40-inch vertical and jacked, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, this is like if LeBron grew up watching Steph Curry. This is scary.
It's just like a league full of Kevin Durant's or something. Yeah.
But more jacked. Yeah. But Caitlin Clark is like kind of the first step in advance. It's not that she's arrived and ready to dominate right now. But when I watched, I was just like, well, this is different. And I've been laughing at the commentary back and forth. And there'd be some reasonable voices like Rod, the aforementioned Rod, on this. But I think nobody's acknowledging that watching big women play, it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
The game, the style. There's one person I did decide to watch highlights of, Asia Wilson, who's like the reigning MVP. Very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, good, I'm glad I watched her highlights, because actually her game, and it's kind of funny if you think the post game is disappearing from the NBA.
Yeah.
But it's thriving in the WNBA.
Yeah.
And most of them look like bullyish ninth graders who are taller than everybody else. Like when they're playing inside, it's a below the rim kind of three missed layups. Oh, look at me grab the board. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just add 20 points, 20 boards on 8 of 31 shooting.
Yeah.
But Caitlin Clark, like, and I want to get Cornel West talking about this, but I wanted to just speak on it a little bit, because I think Caitlin Clark, you're denying the truth. I don't have any problem with anybody flagrantly fouling her, but you're going to have them start to protect her as a league the way they protected like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the rules will start to be like, if you hip check somebody, like, and the ball's not around, one game suspension.
Yeah, right. All these guys, the great white hopes of these leagues.
Right. But I just think she is more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is an awesome player and fun to watch, even if you don't like watch women's basketball, because her game, like I said, resembles a man's game.
Yeah.
And before I get last, my last point is, besides that Asia Wilson is pretty smooth, like she got a sick fadeaway and she blocks shots and she kind of blocks shots. I'm going to give her a compliment. Like a high school sophomore boy. We're starting to get a little, you know,
mm-hmm.
not college. Come on. Still a little vertically challenged,
yes.
But this what's her name? This shot blocker, the rookie. You're not following any of this, right?
No.
Okay. Well, it's in the news, man. It's my job to be on top of this stuff. Oh, Cameron Brink.
She's like a 6'4" white girl,
blonde.
Right?
Yeah. So she's like blocking a lot of shots, and people. What I have noticed online is, and it's kind of funny. I saw no WNBA posts forever on my social media.
Yeah.
And then Caitlin Clark comes along, and now I see a lot, but not Caitlin Clark. I see a lot of Cameron Brink. I see a lot of Asia Wilson. I see a lot of, Angel Reese doing her thing. And I go, this is so performative. This is so, I want to prove that I'm a WNBA guy and that I respect the league. And no, what you're really doing is like, I'm still not comfortable with Caitlin Clark being the superstar
mm-hmm.
or being the biggest name.
Yeah.
You know? And that's my question. I want to go through your search history. And if I don't find any WNBA posts before this month in your life, this is all still a response to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, yeah.
But people still want to deny that she is this kind of central figure to the sport. And when people say, well, we'll see if she'll adjust, I'll go, right. That's like saying, we'll see if Victor Wembanyama gets the hang of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be an all-time great. So that's enough for me, sort of a WNBA ignoramus, you know. That's but I'm giving the honest, very casual fan perspective, because most of the people who've been drawn to the WNBA since Caitlin Clark are this type. Some are malicious people, you know. And when I said what I said about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the problem for me was like 2 hours later, everybody from Keith Olbermann to Dave Portnoy were like, look at this fucking bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Pat McAfee, literally.
Well, no, but that was about Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about them talking about Angel Reese.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I'm like, this is bullshit sportsmanship. And then I'm like, that's okay to say, right?
Yeah.
Not when you get lumped in the algorithm with, you know, Dave Portnoy and his like racist Boston accent going, she's a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah.
9.1. All right. I got a shut the fuck up sign from my producer. So we're going to take a quick break and be back with Dr. Cornel West.
And we're back on Rain on Your Parade. It's Mike stepping in for JL, who just ran out for a few minutes. We have a special guest in the studio. We've been excited to have him in, and I can't believe he's here. I am now joined by Cornel West. Cornel, thank you for coming in to Slickback Studios.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Brother Mike, it is a pleasure for me to be here. I've heard great things about the studio, about the audio, about the community, about the tolerance, about the love.
We big on love, yeah.
You know, I know this is a strong feminist space. I'm very interested in learning how in the hell J.L. Covan got a show here when it's a space dedicated to feminine values. I kid the brother J.L. Covan, one of our best biracial people, gets a little aggressive sometimes.
Yeah.
Gets a little self-righteous instead of self-reflective. By the way, Brother Pauly Shore,
yeah,
stole that from me.
The weasel's your thing?
You know, they called me in college, they called me the weasel, but I don't want to say why, because, you know, I'm now a man of God, a man of faith, a man of the Bible, and in college, I might let the weasel get out of the cage, what I mean. I know you know what I mean, Frank. Brother Mike, I hear you're a lover, a Lothario, legend when it comes to loving the ladies. They call me the old cool C.
Have you heard that?
That's what I've heard. I've heard my time, brother. And we have to embrace. We have to embrace.
Yeah.
Not just sexually, but spiritually, Mike, spiritually. Because we're in a tough time right now. We're in a tough time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because Biden is running this place into the fucking ground. You know what I mean?
It has been a failed administration. He's run a horrible campaign. I have to say, that's why I want people to go to cornelwest.com. Go to my website. You'll find all that you need to find about a campaign built on love, peace, strength through community, not through bombs, Mike.
Not through bombs.
Not through bombs.
Yeah.
You can't win peace with bombs. You can win destruction, death, and devastation. Now, if I wasn't a man of the cloth, a man of love, I might have gone from love to litigation against Pauly Shore for stealing my cadence.
Mm. I think you should have. You would have won.
I would have won, but you know what? We have to win the peace.
Mm.
I'd rather win peace and love than litigation. Now, Mike, Brother Mike.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
I sometimes like to do this when I'm just thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of my thinking pose.
Right. Like, you know? Macaulay Culkin.
Like, But instead of home alone, we're going it alone internationally, globally, diplomatically, Mike.
Yeah.
We need to bring our Gazan brothers, our Gazan sisters, our property brothers.
Yeah.
We need to bring them in too. And they come in too. They come in a pair like Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
They come to your town. They show you the house.
Mm. It's a message.
Message. So I came here today. I didn't want to do too much politics today. I want to talk about the WNBA.
Yeah, JL had a few thoughts before you got here about Caitlin Clark and the hype around it right now. But I can't wait to hear your thoughts. I didn't even know you were a sports guy.
Oh, I'm a very big sports fan, Mike. A very big sports fan. You know, I was around when Dr. James Naismith invented the game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm from the future. I'm from the Matrix. Fucking time travel, Mike.
But Naismith was it's the past, isn't it?
Well, that's the past, but time is a flat circle. True Detective, look it up. Brother Matthew McConaughey spoke some real truths, not only in his novel, but in his great fictional work, because when we look at fiction, Mike, we can find some of our greatest truths in fiction. Fact has become fiction, Mike. I think that's we'd all agree. I know on the Coscarelli rules, they think Sleepy Joe Biden is asleep at the wheel and letting progress pass him by.
Uh-huh.
We have to grab progress and we have to advance it ourselves, Mike. But on a lighter note, I want to talk about the WNBA because I think through the WNBA we can see through basketball what's really going on in our country, Mike.
Yeah, and what is really going on?
We have a Caucasian sister who's talented, tenacious, and tall.
Yeah.
You got to do threes, Mike.
Yep.
And like threes, I speak in threes, and Caitlin Clark shoots threes.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
And I think what she's doing for the women's game is great, but I think we don't see enough unity, U-N-I-T-Y, remember Queen Latifah?
Mm-hmm.
Royalty on the mic, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, did you get that?
I did, yeah. I'm loving your puns, Cornell. When the other guy does it, I don't like it, but...
Well, I'm a loquacious liberator of words, and he just is a struggler of stress.
Yeah.
So, but I think what we have to do is we have to accept Sister Caitlin Clark and realize this is a great opportunity to have openness, to have acceptance, and to have forgiveness. And I think Angel Reese is acting a little bit like a devil, Mike,
mm-hmm.
like a devil, not an angel. We need there to be an angel of peace. Not an angel of technical fouls and hostilities through the media, which, as you know, Mike, you know better, they're corrupting our youth.
Mm-hmm.
They're not telling us the truth. And sometimes you think you're getting a respite, a rest, and relaxation from the sports pages, but you're getting the same thing. They're giving you the same dose of false news, fake news. But I don't like to say fake news because you know who says fake news, and we are certainly not in the camp of that fascist faker,
mm-hmm.
philanderer.
Yeah, Donald Trump, who is, he's not your guy.
No, Donald Trump, no, I pray for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pray for your enemies, Mike. That's right there in the good book. But just because I pray for him doesn't mean I need to support his fascist, neoliberal, neo-aggressive, neo-fascist, neo-from-the-matrix.
Yep. Yeah.
Philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we need to see in the WNBA now, I love seeing our great sisters like Asia Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, smooth player, very talented, very tall. You know, if you measure me from my fro, I'm still shorter than Angel Wilson. But I think what we need to do now is we need to show love and acceptance to Caitlin Clark. I think it's got to be bigger than the game. I think we're at a point in this country where people need to put away their petty differences. You know, how you harass JL when you want him to end a segment and you don't do it.
Wait, so I shouldn't give JL a rap sign anymore?
Well, I think, you know, I saw JL, he was in the bathroom and he was saying, I wish Mike would just be gentler, kinder, and more empathetic when asking to shut down segments that he cares deeply about. He takes many trains out to Brooklyn and he has a lot of time to think about the things he wants to say on this show, uh-huh. Mike. So let me just get in my thinking pose again. Can you vamp? I think they call it vamp. Do you have anything you want to say? I'm a loquacious. I'm a loquacious.
I can vamp. Yeah.
Mike, so, I don't know if you've ever enjoyed an episode of the Rain on Your Parade more than this.
I don't know if I have either. Yeah. So it doesn't bother you at all that Caitlin Clark is being considered, you know, they always use this term in sports, especially in boxing, when a white person is kind of bringing interest to a sport as a great white hope. I mean, you're also a wordsmith. That doesn't bother you at all?
No, and I'll tell you why. I understand we have to be on guard for the great white hope. In fact, Donald Trump is almost the great white nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
The retribution he promises to bring to his enemies, he's the great white nightmare. We have to be on guard for that. But like, unlike so many great white hopes who are just manifestations, mythologies, and masturbatory inventions of white people who were motivated by racism to promote people who didn't deserve, Mike, didn't deserve that role.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark is deserving.
So she's earned it.
She is talented, and I think by calling her a great white hope, you lump her in with all those racist manifestations of the past, whenas we have to credit merit no matter what the skin color,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the skin color. And I want to take a page. I think what Caitlin Clark can be, you know, Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
One of our great people, one of the great orators, one of the great men of peace. I called him a warrior of peace, Mike.
Yep.
You know, instead of Joe Biden, who's a peaceful enabler of war.
Or a piece of shit.
Well, you know, I read the good book. I'm not going to use that kind of language to describe Brother Biden. Okay, I think Brother Biden is running a bad campaign, doing a poor job. I don't think he, at his core, is a bad man.
Yeah, even despite Gaza?
Me Gaza, Sue Gaza. It could be, we have an infrastructure in this country, Mike, Democrat, Republican, Independent, who have enabled this for generations. It's not just what Joe Biden is doing. Joe Biden is almost a tool within a system. He's not create the system.
Mm-hmm.
He's within the system. We want to break out of the system. That's why I want people to go to CornellWest.com and support my independent candidacy. But what I will say is Nelson Mandela, he had the majority in South Africa. After mm-hmm. apartheid, he got out. He could have been filled with a lot of anger, Mike, a lot of righteous anger. Nobody would have blamed him
right.
if he had that anger. But he came out with love. He came out with peace. Came out with peace. And he brought the white people to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to see happen in the WNBA. I want to see Asia Wilson. I want to see the leadership. I don't trust Diana Taurasi.
I don't either.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I think Diana Taurasi is a little upset that her day may be passing.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike Caitlin Clark, who is a great passer of the basketball, Diana Taurasi doesn't want to pass that great white legend onto a new generation.
So do you, I mean, I don't know if you saw the news, but Caitlin Clark did not make the U.S. women's team. Diana Taurasi is on it. Obviously, she's a Hall of Fame talent, one of the great women to ever touch a basketball. But a lot of people are saying that might be a legacy pick over Caitlin Clark. Do you have a problem with her being left off the team?
Well, I don't know that, you know, even if they had not put Diana Taurasi's bitter ass on the team, I think perhaps you would have seen somebody else also get a spot. Doesn't mean that it was Caitlin Clark's to lose, but she was obviously one of the top people considered. I miss Sue Bird. Can I make a confession to you, Mike?
Yeah, please.
I was always a big Sue Bird fan.
Yeah.
Very disappointed when she came out as a lesbian. Not because I don't support our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. I do to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Let her live her truth. Let her be happy with Megan Rapinoe. I encourage that. I enjoy it. I endorse it. I support it. But Cornell South wasn't thrilled when that long-legged cutie came out as a lesbian. That's all I'm saying.
You still got Kelsey Plum, right?
Well, she's got her... You know what? I'm not much of a singer, but when I saw her man do a horrible, horrendous, and horrific song on the internet, I said, I don't want to go anywhere near Kelsey Plum's peach because it might turn me into some crooning auto-tune moron on the internet.
Yeah, he's retiring, that guy.
Hopefully from everything. But what I will say, Sue Bird, if you ever decide that you want to fly to the other side of the street, Dr. Cornell West, my office hours are always open for you, Sue Bird. Tweet, yeah. Tweet.
You got a nest for that bird.
Oh, I got a nest all right. So what I think we can do is, because women have become powerful, potent, and another word that starts with P, in our society.
Was I supposed to give you the third P?
Producer Mike. I thought producer might have a P word to help out Brother Cornell West, Dr. Cornell West. Sometimes the words don't always flow as easily as they seem.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm going to tell the people right now is I think the WNBA can lead. You know, they used to say we got next. I say you have now. I think you should have now. Oh, I just cramped up. And am I having a stroke? I might be from doing this too much, but the point is, if we can have peace with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, if we can have Asia Wilson reach out to Sister Clark to let her know it's okay, that it's not the world against her, we can heal the racial divides. And I think what happens in Gaza, I think Hamas, some people would say this is naive, I think Hamas, when they're watching the WNBA, if they do,
mm-hmm.
we'll see.
Yeah.
They might say, hey, look at Asia. We're near Asia. Connecting with Caitlin Clark, who looks like that Israeli woman I hate. If they can get together, then maybe we can find peace. If the WNBA can bring peace. Did you ever see Rocky IV, Mike?
Yep. Yeah.
The Cold War ended. Why? Because Rocky Balboa extended peace to a man who had killed his friend.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed, a bold, black, beautiful brother, a champion, was struck down viciously, violently, and without another V word by Ivan Drago. And what did Rocky do? Did he seek vengeance?
Yeah, he did.
A little bit of the, you know,
yeah,
good
he
point,
did.
Good point. But when he defeated Drago... He extended a hand to all those Russian people, including that Gorbachev lookalike, and said, if I can change, you can change. We can all change, Mike.
Yeah.
So it starts with you, black players in the WNBA. Bow down to Queen Caitlin.
They are the change.
Be the change that you want to see. Be the Caitlin you want to see in the world. And if you can heal the divides that are running through the WNBA right now, I think we can see peace in Gaza. I think we can see peace in all over the world, Mike. I think it can start with the WNBA. Don't have next, have now. Don't have next, have now. Mike, I think that's. I think I've given all the wisdom I can.
I think so, too. And I want to thank you for being here, Cornell. It was really
please,
a lot of fun.
Dr. West.
Dr. West. You go to medical school for all those years. I mean, the least I can do is...
Well, I didn't go to medical school. I'm a theology, history, and a vocabulary doctor.
Oh, okay.
Did you think I went to medical school?
A doctor? Yeah. I mean, I thought it was possible. Like Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. He's in politics. He's a doctor.
I'm not in politics. I've been called to politics by a spiritual higher calling, Mike. Okay? I'm not a political animal. I'm a spiritual animal called to do good and to heal the world.
All right. Well, anyway, we got to get out of here. Thank you.
Donate. Well, I don't like your tone so much, but donate at cornellwest.com. We're going to change America. We're going to change the world. We're going to bring peace to the WNBA and the Middle East.
All right. Well, that's that with Dr. Cornell West. He is on his way out the door, but we'll be back on the other side of the break with some comedy talk and the Punchdown of the Week. Stick around.
And we're back, Mike. I mean, Dr. Cornell West, what can you say?
I wasn't expecting him to say some of the things that he said, and my God, I guess you can never count that guy out because he says what's on his mind. You know,
underneath that big fro is a big brain.
Yeah,
and a bold free thinker.
Yeah,
and that's why we're
a guy in the Matrix.
Yeah, and that's why we're considering endorsing him for president.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
I mean, at this point, fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, just my two things are: do you want a ceasefire, and do you have a large vocabulary? And I think those are the two most important things for me for America's future, vocabulary and Gaza.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Punchdown of the Week this week is kind of on topic, which is good. I made a joke because out of context, there was an Angel Reese quote, which was kind of like, everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark, but like, you know, I'm part of the reason why people are watching now too, which many people scoffed at, including me, to be honest. But... 40% on layups is not must see TV. But anyway, I wrote after Porzingis had that great game one against the Mavericks.
Yep.
I wrote, without Angel Reese, I don't think we are talking about Kristaps Porzingis tonight. Yeah, a lot of people got the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And a person wrote back to me, a follower, nor without Phil Jackson. You know, because Phil Jackson,
drafted him,
and then like he was unhappy in New York, so he's been to a bunch of other teams. So, yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, if we're doing like, if we're accepting the fact that maybe Angel Reese is why we're talking about Kristaps Porzingis, then I'll take fact based replies.
Yeah.
Oh man, you are the Punchdown of the Week. I'm not going to identify him because his name. It's a non-malicious comment, but it's a classic Punchdown of the Week. It's like it's the oblivious category where you're like, oh, I forgot you're a comedian and this was a joke because I thought I'd fact check you on a joke. And as far as special, I want to recommend this one. Shocked me, Mike. This one shocked me.
Did you find some of my old YouTube clips?
No, but I was on Pornhub and I thought I saw a couple, and it was on Amazon Prime, and I remember I'd heard this comic get interviewed on the New Yorker podcast, which is a kiss of death for me, even though I'd love to be interviewed by the New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last time I remember the New Yorker making a bold, big comedy proclamation, they had this Australian woman on. Uh-oh. And her special was coming in like 3 weeks to Netflix. And David Remnick, the dulcet-sounding, brilliant editor of the New Yorker, basically was like, and it's going to change the way we see comedy. Hannah Gadsby's Nanette. Is good. And you know what? They were right. They were right. The New Yorker was not wrong there. But I don't want to live in a world where the New Yorker is calling their the shot on comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to be the ones who are like, and now from this person, a very thoughtful, unfunny special that will change comedy.
No, I'm more comfortable when Vulture does it.
And I am not comfortable with that. That fucking digital rag, that digital PR fucking cum dumpster of like, who do you want? You're an agent. Who should be on our list? Best specials of this weekend. Awful, awful. Scavengers indeed.
Yeah.
Vultures.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hear this man on New Yorker and I'm like, well, he's done some funny things. He's a well-known comedic persona, but I don't like the tone of this podcast. It's like very like I'm dealing with grief and loss and I'm going, oh, great. So everybody now has to do the profound special. Mm-hmm. It can't just be fun. It's got to have the theme and it's got to be profound and it's got to be, oh. And it was Marlon Wayans.
Ah.
And I'm watching and I see it on Amazon and I go, well, I need something to watch. You know, like this is a segment of the show. And it's called Good Grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn it on and I'm like, I did watch Joe Coy's new special, which I was not, and I know I've worked with Joe Coy, very nice to me. I have loved so much of his material. I didn't think this one was really, eh. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. So I decided to watch Marlon Wayans' special. Be like, well, you know, I don't want to spend time going, here's why this one wasn't good and why you should watch his other work. Good Grief is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's so good, and I was stunned. It's vulgar, but it's not it's vulgar with purpose. And I'm watching this special, and he's doing a bit about – and it's very – I'm at the age now where you can sort of relate to it in terms of taking care of older parents, either being around that experience or in that experience. And he's talking about having to change the diapers of his parents. Mm. And I don't know if that's true. You know, it seemed like it was true, but you don't know. It could be. But I believe it's true. And he's talking about his father's dick. And I did not expect to howl with laughter. Like because I was like, okay, this is like lowbrow stuff. But he's doing a thing describing his father's dick. And he's like, it's so weird. And it was like at the head. It was like turned the wrong way. It was like, it looked like John Wick had like broken the neck of his penis. And he's doing this whole thing. And he goes, it looked like his neck needed one of those like spine stabilizers that people have after. And he took the stool. And in the greatest non-hump usage of a stool on stage in comedy history, he just put it over his head. So it looked like one of those spine stabilizers. I'm telling you, it is so funny. And I really was not expecting it. And he gets profound at the end, but he does the thing that's so important to me. He never loses the funny.
Mm-hmm.
He never goes, for this 6 minutes now, I'm going to tell you a deep emotion. He cries a little bit during like the setup for, you know, because he probably was emotional. Mm-hmm. He's talking about both parents dying. But he never lost the funny. He never allowed it to become like, and now, so you give me a standing ovation, I'm going to end with profound bullshit. It was still about laughs and being vulnerable, but like keeping funny first. So Good Grief, Amazon Prime. And hey, guys, while you're on Amazon Prime, why don't you check out Half Blackface by yours truly? It's streaming free there as well. And maybe then after, go to your computer, log in, leave a 5-star review for Good Grief. And mine. Jesus, I got to walk you guys through everything.
Marlon Wayans should be paying for this promo.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to say, okay, to my many naysayers in this very room.
Yes.
I spit the truth. And my opinion on comedy comes from both an honest voice and somebody who knows fucking comedy.
Yeah.
So when I tell you Marlon Wayans took me by surprise, it is great. It may not be for everybody because there is a lot of vulgarity, but it is fucking really funny. And he does a great bit on Kobe dying.
Mm-hmm.
That there's so much in that bit that could have been hacked. I'm sorry. Well, I shouldn't have. The Kobe dying is really like a chance to talk about Magic Johnson and stuff.
Mm.
And it's like, it could have been hacky, but instead it was excellent. He does it just right so that it's brilliant and not hacky stupidity. Good grief, Marlon Wayans, you don't have to pay me. If you paid me, this wouldn't be the podcast that it is.
But you know what you do need to do? You need to go to our YouTube page if you guys are listening to the show. Subscribe to JL's page. Watch the show on YouTube because you get all these beautiful visuals. Me in sunglasses, JL in the same shirt that he always wears.
Dr. Cornell West.
Dr. Cornell West,
you weren't
supposed
to mention the shirt because I've been given an exemption when it's a guest.
You are given exemption, but I mean, I'm still going to bust your balls a little bit. Exemption.
You still got the Anthony Scaramucci, like, Paizan bully attitude.
I wasn't going to say that you were acting like a jerk off, but you're wearing the same shirt. So go to YouTube if you're a listener of the show on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify and interact with this episode. We love when you leave comments. We've been pretty good about getting in the comments back and talking to you guys, but all of that helps boost engagement. It helps boost the algorithm and it helps us get this show to more people and vice versa. If you are watching the show on YouTube, listen to us on your commute, or if you're going to get a cup of coffee or whatever. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify.
If that cup of coffee takes you an hour and 10 minutes to get.
Yeah, that's right. Or even if you listen to half of it, it's fine.
If you're grinding your own coffee beans and doing like a slow pour over or something, it's perfect.
So those are the plugs, and that's it for me on this. And that's all I needed to make money. So I need to.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I need to get them
there. I just love more consistency because people, you know, I get if you want to pick and choose episodes, but I think what we're doing here is generally worth listening to every week.
I do too.
Some people have been surprised when they hear something and go, oh, I wasn't expecting like, because if you listen to it, you know, Mike keeps me on the straight and narrow, tries to.
I try.
Versus the maudlin hour and a half sessions I would do by myself when it was Righteous Prick. So he's guiding
Laura
me.
Laura tying a rope around her neck in the other room.
And so, you know, we'd love any as much support as you can give the show and YouTube and reviews and all that are greatly appreciated. So, do it, folks. We appreciate you. Another fun episode in the books. Thank you, Dr. Cornell West. And we will see you next Thursday.